Hey gang, welcome to We Watch Stuff 97. I'm Jeremy, Shahid's on the other end, and you should know what we're going to talk about already. So, one, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I am doing fine. I'm doing fine. I'm ready to get into this show. Basically, the movie we've been waiting a long time to talk about and to see, and it was weird, like it didn't sink in until it actually started. That we were finally seeing this, at least for me, that I was finally seeing this movie. And I actually made a special trip. I actually went to an IMAX theater to go see this.
Well, I did too, but mine's only 10, 15 minutes away. So
mine is about a half hour drive. And because it's funny where I have a movie theater that's five, 7 minutes away, and then another one that's like 12 minutes away with assigned seating. But instead, I'm like, you know what? This deserves big picture. So, like, the closest one is about 25, 30 minutes. It's actually in a mall, which is surprising. And I had bought my tickets online, but you pick them up at the movie. Like, you pick them up when you get to the theater. They don't print the tickets like a lot of places do. So I'll go there, and I'm like, okay, so where I got my tickets from? And then I see a sign say, from the convenience stand, like where they sell the popcorn and stuff.
Oh, lazy theater.
Yeah.
Yep. Every Thursday it's like that.
And so I get there, you know, I'm on this, buy my ticket. They give my number, they plug the number in, ticket prints out, get to the theater. The theater is huge. And I got there early because I wasn't sure, like, the seating and this stuff. And when I got there, it was like maybe 45 minutes before started, because I walked around the mall to see who was there. And it was like maybe 3 or 4 people sitting down. So I'm like, that's weird. And it's like maybe a couple hundred seats. By the time the movie started, I want to say the theater was 3/4 full. Because it was only like one show for the IMAX one that night. So okay. Yeah, I want to say it was like, I want to say like 75% full.
Well, ours, we got there, I mean, yours was assigned seating, right?
No, mine wasn't assigned seating. No.
Oh, okay. Ours was, which I thought, well, which is also the same for Kong when we went and saw it. And we just sat right down, but it was already crowded in there, which, you know, we got there with, I don't know, 10 minutes to spare, but people were still pouring in while we were waiting. So we're watching, and what was funny is they start the previews, and one, they're all old trailers for movies that have new trailers. So that was kind of disappointing. But It got to Guardians of the Galaxy, and it was the old trailer, but it was in 3D. So everyone's kind of looking at you like, what's going on here? Now, the guy sitting next to my wife, he was super excited when he sat down anyways. He was ready for this movie to go. So it was, as soon as the Guardians of the Galaxy preview started, it was blurry. Well, not blurry. It was actually kind of interesting to see what it looks like without the glasses on for a sustained amount of time. He's like, what is this? This movie ain't 3D. This movie ain't 3D. And I'm like, is this guy reading my mind? Because I'm thinking the exact same thing at this time. And he looks over at me, and we kind of make eye contact. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So he's like, all right. And his girl, like, grabs him a hand, and he's like, hey, just give it a second. Then it starts the IMAX, like, you know, the old dissolve that goes into the new. All that's blurring in 3D. And he goes, oh, hell no. Fuck this. Gets up and runs down the aisle outside to tell somebody. And I'm like, we're kindred spirits, my friend. And he comes in, and like one of the ushers comes in, and he goes, hang on, guys, we played the wrong version. And I'm like, there is no version. What are you talking about? And I guess they must have started the program on 3D instead of 2D. I'm like, okay. And it took them 1 second, and we got the new trailer for The Mummy, so that was nice. So, you know. But yeah, that it was just funny.
Well, luckily we didn't have any of those type of problems. And I remember you talking about what what trailers you were getting. My theater got the trailers they got was basically the newer version, like the most recent trailers, because we got Justice League, The Mummy, Spider-Man, Pirates of the Caribbean, And what else? It was one. Oh, Transformers. Transformers got the, we got the second one, which was weird because it was like this whole I'm a girl, like a woman.
That's the one we got.
Girl empowerment one, which is hilarious, yeah. Coming from Michael Bay. It's like, because it's funny where the sentiment is good. You would never think it would come from him. Like, you know, I'm a girl. I run like a girl. What's wrong with that? Like, basically, like, girl power and all this. And everyone's looking at him. It's funny where you hear her talking, but then you see all the action. They're looking at her like she's a lunatic.
Because I'm sitting there going, what the hell? What is this? Is this a commercial for the Transformers trailer? And then it starts fighting, and I'm like, okay. And then my first thought was, and I don't like these movies. My first thought was, my God, they're going to make them worse. It's going to be about a bratty kid the whole time now. And then Mark Wahlberg shows up, and I'm like, oh my God, he's back again. Okay. And I just shut down. Like, I'm not going to see it. So it's like no bother even commenting on it, I guess.
Yeah, like I saw the last one, and I'm someone who, like, I basically feel about Transformers how you feel about G.I. Joe. And I'm watching, and I'm like, I guess Michael Bay is like, you know what? Maybe I've been restrained before, so I'm going to go balls out. Like, they have him. Like, I don't remember the Transformers rolling with King Arthur and fighting the Nazis.
Uh-huh.
So I'm watching this, and I'm like, yeah. Like, I'm going to see this, but it just looks insane. And not even, like, insane. Like, even for Michael Bay, it seems insane. Which is saying a lot. And I'm a Michael Bay fan, but I'm like, this looks batshit crazy. And I think people had the same ideas watching, like, people, like, because you kind of get a vibe, like, what resonates. And when the Transformers went on, people, it's like the people who liked it kind of didn't want to admit they liked it. And it was a whole bunch of, like, not like laughing at it, but just like, that's something. Which is funny coming from, like, a Fast and Furious crowd. It's like, When you're used to crazy family, and then the real crazy uncle comes. It's kind of like that type, kind of like that look you had on your face. So
that was the end of our trailers. Now it's good segue right into the main event, Fate of the Furious. I don't know if we even mentioned what movie we're talking about, but again, by the picture, you should know. One, I'm gonna say I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. It's got some major ass flaws, but overall, I enjoyed the hell out of this thing.
I feel the same way, but I was getting a weird feeling watching this movie. I think it was kind of like, it seemed a lot more serious than the other ones. And it's funny saying that, not just because the stakes were higher, it just felt more, this is the first one that felt like a movie, like a movie, if that makes sense.
No, I know what you're getting at. I don't know if I agree with you or not.
No, like so. I'm used to, like, you're used to stuff. Like, before, it's kind of like, you know what you got to give the plot points. Is it going to be talking about family? Is it going to be stunts? It's
I don't think they mentioned that in this one, actually.
It's going to, actually, yeah, I just caught that. No, it's going to be family. It's going to be stunts. It's going to be jokes. You're going to have a villain and stuff like that. Maybe one bad thing will happen. But it's not usually like a lot of like downtime or like sad parts, except for like Fast 7 was sad just because the circumstances surrounded it. Because, you know, it was like Paul Walker passing away. Fast 6 had that one sad part when Giselle died, and you kind of know where Han was leading to. But for the rest, for the most part, and like Tokyo Drift, because Han died. But beyond that, like, they've been, you know, movies, like, you know, fun movies and summer movies and popcorn movies and stuff like that. And this one just felt almost like a damn, this felt like a comic movie, like a real comic movie.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's the thing that sunk in. And people all make the joke saying, you know, they might as well be comic heroes at this point.
They are.
Like, that definitely resonated. And it's one thing before we go into the movie that I kind of noticed, and it's the first time I noticed it. Yeah, Vin Diesel is a very talented guy. He's a good action star. But this is the first one where, you know, like, it's the difference between I'm trying to find the best way, like somebody that works hard and somebody like naturally athletic. When they do that whole basketball, like sports things, like he uses his full potential to hit a certain point, and then it's like somebody that's just a better athlete is going to have a better ceiling. Yeah, him next to Jason Statham and The Rock is noticeable. And this is the first time where it's like real noticeable. It's kind of like, you know, Vin Diesel has a ceiling, like how high he can get, which is a great ceiling because he has three franchises. But he ain't The Rock and he ain't Jason Statham. And and I think they did a good job with the other movies, kind of like they didn't notice it. Like it wasn't noticeable because Paul Walker was around, or like, you know, Fast Five, The Rock was the villain for the most part, so he's chasing them. Fast Six, Paul Walker's doing his own thing, so it's like The Rock's doing this, and Jason State and Vin Diesel's doing this. Fast Seven, The Rock's barely in the movie because of scheduling, so you don't notice it. This one is the first time I noticed it, and I think it's maybe because Paul Walker wasn't there and Jason Statham was, and it was like, yeah. So that stood out, and then it's some other points I think we might be on the same page that kind of definitely stood out, but we might as well just jump into the movie.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to go over bit by bit in the movie like we usually do, but I think some of the parts, like this movie started off, and I turned to Elise and went, is this Triple X again? Because it started off exactly like Triple X did. I mean, not actually, thematically it did, where Vin Diesel, okay, did they ever say he had somebody in Cuba in any of the other movies?
No.
Okay, so he's over there, he now has a cousin. Why? Because we want to go shoot in Cuba, that's why. And then he has, of course, has the pimped out ride. And I'm like, alright, cool. But he's not allowed to race it because he's got to race his cousin's hunk of truck.
Because he mouthed off saying it's not about the car, it's about the driver. And the guy's smart, like, well, if that's the case, aren't you, like, if you can just drive anything, just drive that one.
Yeah.
And the guy was
proven right. I mean, I know Vin Diesel beats him by going backwards as his car turns into a jet engine.
It turned to a damn bomb. And it's funny where they took times, it's kind of like little things to Paul Walker, like, you know, I learned this trick from Brian about the whole Nas and do this and this, and I'm watching this, and like that whole first setting from the race and the end is kind of like, anybody that hasn't watched these movies that want to know like what's important to Dominic Toretto, that's what this scene was. It's basically like, you know, this is Dominic Toretto, this is why he does what he does, and it's basic. And it's funny where that scene was kind of a setup to everything else in the movie, as well as being like a Vin Diesel like vanity thing,
because
because
I mean, he even had, after he beats him, he's basically the Messiah. You know, it's funny, it's Easter weekend because Jesus came down to Cuba, won his race, didn't take the guy's car, and then had all the children. Oh, I'm sorry, I got the events out of order. He wins the race going backwards. As he jumps out of his car, going 200 miles an hour, who knows how fast he was going, not fast enough for the concrete to chew his arms off. All the kids rush to him like Jesus coming down from the mountain. I don't know, it was Moses, whatever. And then they're all there. He gives the guy his keys back. He goes, I just need your respect is all. I was like, oh my God, fuck off. I was like, is this Triple X all over again?
Well, guess what? That's him. And you know what? It's funny that you laugh when we say that, but it's like, it's consistent. So it's not like it's something out the blue, and it pays off.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There's even a line
when he's talking to Cypher, and she goes, "Oh yeah, you didn't take his car, whatever." He's like, "Yeah, I changed him. That's what I do." I was like, "Oh my God." It was so blatant. Like, it sounds like I'm criticizing it. I guess I sort of am, but
yes,
I enjoyed it though. Just like there's no shame in it. Like, you know, Vin Diesel's what, the top producer on these now, right?
He's him and Neil Moritz are like co-producers, and I just listened to a podcast, and he was talking about the whole series, like on Bill Simmons' podcast. It was actually a very you know, informative feed. But yeah, it's kind of like he has producer credit, and you kind of know like he's going to show the best thing. I will say this though, because we're jumping around. Mm-hmm. I don't know how serious it is with. I know all the stuff between him and The Rock. I know they didn't beside that trailer they dropped during, what was it, before the Super Bowl or during the playoffs. They haven't done any press together since. Like, mm-hmm. they're like they've been separated. And the way the movie set is set up, it's kind of like if The Rock wasn't anymore, he had an out. But you definitely wouldn't notice watching the movie. Like,
yeah, they were barely in it together.
And not only that, I'm talking about how for all the jokes about how Vin Diesel's like, you know, how he made himself, how he made himself like the Messiah. He made The Rock and Jason Statham look like superheroes.
Oh no, I plan like, on getting to that too. So,
yeah, yeah. So seeing that, it didn't make me feel too bad about Ben having this whole thing. And it's just funny, like that whole like one. You can't have, you know, people always complain like there's no racing anymore in these Fast and Furious movies. So you get your race, you have your women, and I will say this, the woman that started, you know, that started the race there, they made a nice choice. Because it's funny where even, I guess sometimes you see so many people, so much eye candy, it's hard to get noticed when you see so much. And yeah, I noticed her. I was like, good casting call. So, you know, that happens, and they're on their honeymoon. And it's funny where they seem, this is like the first one since like the first movie where you could tell like how lovey-dovey they are, and like extended period of time, like him and Letty. Like before, it's kind of like, you know, they're together because they seem like they should be together, and they had a little bit more chemistry than Brian and Mia. But it's always seemed like, it's never seemed like, even though she was there, it's always been like, you know, Dom and Brian or Dom and Hobbs. It's always been like bigger relationships. And this is like the first one you see like, okay, you can see why they're together, everything like that. So, of course, Charlize Theron pops in. And I got to say something about this. And she did a good job with the role. I hated Charlize Theron in this movie. Like, she was evil. And
yeah.
Fast and Furious villains have never been like evil. They've been either bad or like, you know, I'm trying to do stuff and you're getting in my way type thing. But it's never been this whole I can't, or you might even, or they might be like cool, so you're rooting for them. This is the first one where you was not rooting for the villain, like or like thinking they're cool or they're just doing business. It's like she was almost like the damn Terminator, like just.
Well, let's
see. She's good at. I would say that she's good at playing a villain, and I like the setup how the whole thing comes in, because it's like, you know, first you're thinking, oh, how you know she's in the movie, so you see her and you're wondering like, you know, what's the logic involved? And she basically like, you know, I did a lot of planning for us to meet. You know, I know you go to this coffee shop, so I made sure this other coffee shop was closed, and I know you take this route here because you like this, and this, and then Diesel and like Dominic has this look like, you know. First, how she knows my name, and then like what the hell's going on? And then you see the picture, and then you see, you know, she showed the phone like, you're gonna do this work for me, and show him why, and you're wondering like, okay, what did she show him?
And of course, I think the obvious one was that it was Brian and Mia. That was my first thought, was they had those two, and then also like their kid or kids. The timeline's a little weird. I guess she wouldn't have had the other kid yet. Because the didn't seven ended.
She was pregnant with
right.
one.
Yeah,
but they didn't say like, you know. I guess it's not, you know, how much time. Like, it's funny where the time has always been weird with these movies. Like, you know, time uh-huh. has gone by, but you don't know how much. And it, yeah, it plays off in this one definitely.
So the picture thing was important because there's kind of a logic flaw, and I actually didn't see it. Elise pointed it out, so we'll get that in a second. But yeah, when it comes to her being the bad guy, I never like computer villains, because like the whole thing with them turning the engine off at the end, her doing this or telling people like Boston, like, here, type faster, here, type this, like, you have to do all those jump cuts, which they did. to try and make it interesting. So in that respect, I was kind of like, eh, whatever. And then there was part of me that was hoping at the end, which I really want to talk about this whole scene in full, when Statham and her, well, hey, spoilers, gang. Anyways, when her and Statham face off at the end, I was hoping beyond hope they were going to have a fist fight. And then she's like, nah, I got a parachute. Peace out. Is this the first movie where the bad guy got away?
Yes. This is the first one where, yeah, it's a lot of firsts in this movie. And people were wondering about that too. Like, you know, it's kind of hard because usually the villains are like fighting or driving. And she's basically like in a plane, a computer screen. But I'm like, unless she's a ninja, she's fighting a bunch of dudes. Like, her whole conflict are with men. How's that fight going to go? Especially they got The Rock basically being bulletproof for the most part, and Jason Statham like English ninja. Like, that fight was going to last 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. So,
but that's what I'm getting at. That, like, if there would have been that other secret layer to her, to where she's actually a hidden ninja badass, whatever, and I think my head would have exploded because that would have been the coolest reveal ever. Because she really didn't do a whole lot. I mean, I'm saying that now, knowing what we're going to talk about in a little bit. But she was, for a skinny, 150-pound white woman, she was pretty menacing. It was believable. But at the same time, you're like, yeah, she's not physically going to be able to do a whole lot. Yeah, I think Michelle Rodriguez, who's a bowling ball, apparently.
I think that's the point. It's like you're used to physical villains or, like, menacing villains, and she's not going to, like, they haven't had a villain like this one.
No.
And I'll say this. I know people make jokes and everything. I could tell people who really watch the movies and people who fake watch them, because I hear a lot of stuff when people say these movies, oh, it's nice, dumb fun, everything like that. No, it's absurd fun. There's nothing dumb about these movies. Like, these movies spend way more time than necessary trying to make everything have a reason or have anything fit the story, more than a lot of franchises do. Like, more than like a lot of comic franchises do at this point, where she's basically, you know, and it's funny, like, where you have a mythology about this, it's kind of like she's the villain behind Fast 6 and Fast 7.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. It's kind of like, you know what, I wouldn't even notice you if you didn't keep messing with my plans. Just the fact that you had these two movies basically reinforces, like, she has a backstory just from existence from the other movies. And it's like, oh, you remember this guy from Fast 7. And you know how we always make jokes about, like, Star Trek, like, all these sci-fi movies, they have this super tech that can solve everything. And then the next movie, they forget all about it.
Mm-hmm.
This one didn't do that, because you remember the guy's eye from Fury 7? And it's kind of like, oh, this will come in handy. Yeah, I guess everyone thought the same thing, because it came in handy Fast 8. It's like, this is a movie universe that pays attention to stuff that happens. And we don't have any other non-comic franchises that does that. Like, the Mission Impossible movies just started doing, like, you know, sequels to each other before. It's like, that stuff never happened. None of the other, like James Bond reboots every, you know, 10 years. And the Daniel Craig ones are the first ones where they felt like sequels to each other.
Yeah.
So the rest of them don't, like, yeah, so if it's not comic or, like, Underworld, Resident Evil, people don't do stuff like this even more. And even with those movies, like, they don't do it as well as Fast and Furious. So I like how they try to make stuff fit based on the scene. But I think this, unless it's something that's coming in a later movie, and I'm thinking a lot of people saying that, it kind of bit them in the ass at this point. And we dancing around it. Can we just say it? Let's get out the way.
All right.
Okay. One of the biggest things in the Fast and Furious franchises was Han dying. And it created all these problems. Like, he was such a good actor that they basically changed the timeline to make him fit in 4, 5, and 6. And, like, him and Giselle dying, Giselle dying in 6 and him dying in Tokyo Drift has all this weight. And, you know, Deckard Shaw, Jason Statham killing him has this weight in, like, basically the plot of 7. So I know they made an effort and they did as best they can. The fact that at the end of the movie, they're at the table saying grace is kind of like, yeah, like, Even though I'll say this, I know a lot of people complain about it, but some people, and I included, made a good point. Han's important to us. He's really important to, like, Dominic and Letty. He barely really interacted with the other ones besides, like, what, a movie? Two movies?
Yeah.
Because Fast Five is the first time a lot of them meeting Han, so they build on that, and then all the stuff that happened in Six, then he leaves. So I could see, even though it's kind of like, yeah, they feel somewhere, yeah, he killed our butt, like, he killed our friend, and he tried to blow up everything like this, and they... Which is kind of like, yeah,
he tried to kill everybody the entire last movie. I mean,
they were trying to kill him, and yeah, they made a, and it wasn't like they were dancing around it, because they brought up a good point for further, like, you know, like, we're gonna forget what he did, and they brought up the fact like he did all this, and he brought up the point too, because it's kind of like, you know, you basically turned my brother into a piece of toast, and tried to murder me and lock me up. Yeah. And I bless their heart. They made enough effort. They, like, you know, have a reason, kind of like, you know, almost him and Hobbs, like, mirror image of the same person. And they had enough chemistry together where I was just laughing at their scenes together. Like, they made an effort to try to explain it. It still felt like
it didn't work.
It felt sketchy. The only way this works, and people talked about, like, Han has to come back for this to work. And you get the feeling like they want to, but they're trying to figure out a way to have them do it. And I will say this: they understand themselves enough to know, like, this, I doubt this was an accident. But it's kind of like, you can't judge based on what you think may happen in the future. You only can judge based on what you've seen. And what you saw, this kind of like, yeah, that was the elephant in the room. Like, that felt...
Don't forget, there's that, but then also they brought his brother back.
Yeah, that was even more surprising.
Three, four minutes? And as soon as they showed one, all right, let's get this out of the way. That did not work when Dom shoots Deckard. I'm sorry, Dom, you know, Vin Diesel shoots Jason Statham. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so there's something going on there, because he just talked to his mom. Although, I don't think they really made it, they didn't come out and say that was his mom. But if you watch all these movies, you kind of figure, oh, okay, I get it.
They dropped enough hints so you kind of knew, but they didn't spell it out and everything.
Yeah, Helen Mirren just deciding, I don't want to do the Avengers or DC, so I'm just going to get in Fast and Furious movies. That could have been anybody, but they got an Academy... Well, she won an Academy Award, right?
Yes, she has.
So, hey, we need to bump up our Academy Award people. See if Helen Mirren will do it.
Okay. No. She asked them.
Oh.
That's the thing that's the one thing I remember reading the podcast. Is like, they got to the point before, like, when they used to do the movies, they had to beg people to be in them. And now it's like, people are asking, can we be in your movies? So that's just something where it's kind of like, ridiculous. I always want to be in these movies. And it's funny, as soon as he started talking about it, it was a natural fit, because it's like, you know, she does action movies, she's British, you got the Shaws and everything. So it's like, of course she'd be their mom. But here, it's funny where you used to hear her all culture and everything like that, and her just being like a grimy Cockney, that, like, that accent was like, she was like a crime Peggy Bundy. And I'm just laughing, like, how, yeah, so you saw that, and I was thinking the same thing. I was like, okay, I'm assuming he's coming back.
Yeah.
But it was enough ambiguity, considering, like, they were actually killing people, where, like, you don't... Well, I'm assuming, but if he didn't, it seemed kind of sudden. And so when you saw the two, it's funny. Like, as soon as you saw the two, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, it's his brother. But until then, it's funny where it fit, but you almost forgot it. Like, it's funny, but the whole thing with, like, Luke Evans, like, Owen Shaw, is kind of like, they talk about him, but it's easy to forget about him. Mm-hmm. And this one, they were, like, dropping enough hints where, you know, he's basically doing this for his brother. Even though, and I love their whole thing. It's kind of like, he loves his brother but doesn't like him. Like, he didn't want to, like, the whole thing of Fast of Furious 7 was, I'm doing this out of family obligation. I really don't want to do this.
Yeah, and
this
is really, especially when he badmouths him and his mom gets all mad at him.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like, and then it feeds the whole thing, like, Furious 8, like, you know, the only reason my brother got involved in the first place is because she asked, like, you know, Cypher asked me, I said no. So she asked him, he did it because I guess he had to prove something where like that. And basically it's kind of like they made everything like I'm only doing this for like family obligation, even though I don't want to do this. And it's funny where Owen Shaw was kind of like, that family stuff is overrated. I'm about precision. You doing this family stuff, that's mean I can just get at you whenever you want. And Jason Statham character is kind of like, you know, I'm doing this because of family. Almost like Vin Diesel's whole thing. Like, the only reason I'm here is because of family obligations. I don't even like this asshole. But I'm doing this because, you know, you damn near killed him. So when they showed up, and it's funny, like, the crowd, what I went to, recognize them and started, like, was surprised. Like, oh. Because it's kind of like, that tells you a lot where, how many people you think would recognize Luke Evans? Yeah. Like, he's a actor. And it's funny, like, he's in Beauty and the Beast, which is about to hit $1 billion. He's been in stuff, but he's not like a movie star. But as soon as he showed up, people knew who he was, and people got excited. Like, and it's funny where it fit, but I wasn't even thinking about it until I saw that scene. Well, and that movie has a habit of doing that.
All right, so I never would have imagined they'd do this, but for any second, did you think that was Brian flying up there with him? If they were going to, like, come up with a digital Paul Walker? You know? I didn't think for a second that's who it would be, but I was almost wondering if there was supposed to be a tease there that, like, it was Brian and Mia. Which, if Paul Walker was still alive and he could have done this movie, how they would have explained how Paul Walker and Mia knew how to fly those jetpacks would have been hilarious. But at least they kind of gave Statham a reason to know how to use those things.
Yeah, so, like, and Vin Diesel made a big point. Like, you know, I got unstoppable killers on you. Like, they're highly, unlike most of the people in this movie, they're highly trained military experts. So that was the least surprising thing. And it was almost kind of like that. It's almost like they were in, like, two different movies where Jason, like, that airplane scene with Jason Statham was like, wow.
Yeah, let's get
like,
to that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, this is what, sometimes you forget about how good the action star Jason Statham is, because it's like, he can still do his own movie, make money. He does comedy so well, and it's been a long time since, like, The Transporter came out, so that you forget, like, he's an athlete. Like, you know, he used to be, like, swimming. Could have been like maybe almost like Olympic level at the point. Then he decided to do something else. Like, yeah, he knows what he's doing when it comes to action movies. And he looked like a damn force of nature. Like, that airplane scene was just top notch. And him cracking. And the funny thing is, him having a sense of humor definitely helps, because he knows what type of movies he's in. But he's never like looking down at people. It's like, you know, it's almost like this whole bemused, like, yeah, I guess I'm doing this. So I'm gonna have fun with it.
You're gonna dance around the best part of that whole scene, aren't you?
You mean beside the stuff with the baby, or
no? The entire fact this grown ass man is shooting, like breaking people's necks, doing all this high violent stuff, while carrying around a baby in a baby carrier, stopping every once in a while to check on the kid and make goo goo faces at him. That is insanity. And then
I was gonna get to it, but
holy shit! That's my favorite part of this movie. But I mean, I understand there's a submarine. I don't care. I just saw a grown ass man on an airplane, mind you, shooting people, bashing their faces in the consoles till they're dead, jumping all over the place, kicking a baby away from him, picking it up, and he's like, "You okay?" And they have the audacity to actually show the baby smiling, like high-fiving that stuff. That's hilarious. Like, I can't imagine the pitch meeting writing this. Like, all right, we're going to have them fight, but here's the thing. We've seen that before. We can't really do too much in an airplane, so we're going to have him rescue the baby and fight with the baby in his hand while he's being shot at. Yes! Make that movie.
You remember shooting what with Clive Owen? Let's just do that in a plane.
Oh my god, I forgot about that movie. Yeah.
That's basically what that is. And it's funny, like the end of that scene, like the last guy, you know, like you look at him, like, you try to shoot a baby? And kind of looked at him and put the baby down, like, you know, I'm gonna turn your crib around. I don't want you to see this. And basically just beat that man to death.
Yes. And then picks up the baby, he's like, all right, you okay? All right, move, move, move. It's like, what? What?
And it's hilarious, like, seeing how villainous Jason Statham was in Fury 7 yes. and in the beginning of this one to get to that point. It's kind of like, yeah, like, that, I was just laughing because it was, it's funny where you watching the movie and you're enjoying it, and then you think after the fact it's kind of like, that seemed weird. And that's how I felt a lot of point of movies. Like, I enjoyed it when it was going on, but then as soon as it stopped my thought about it, it was kind of like, yeah, maybe I should have thought about it. Like, it's still enjoyable. Like, I would, and I still laugh just thinking about it. But, like, this trained Stone Cold killer is just playing Goo Goo Eyes with it. Uh-huh. Hey, babies work. And let's talk about the whole baby, since we talked about it.
Okay, yeah.
You know what?
This is my problem. This is one of my problems.
I don't have too much of a problem with, because women do stuff like this all the time. And you know what's weird? Think about it.
No, that's not even what I was going to say.
No, oh, the whole thing is like, he's just finding out now that he has a son.
Yeah.
But it's, you know what's funny? When they show Elena, I'm like, okay, I know they had a thing, but why is he so, mm-hmm. why does he care so much? And she didn't tell him yet. And then all of a sudden, you see the baby. I guess he must have put two and two together, because it's like, okay, she has a baby. We had a thing. So
okay, sorry. So let's back up on that. So when Charlize Theron Cypher shows him the picture, he doesn't know that's his kid. If this is where it doesn't work. When they show the picture, whatever, he freaks. Okay. And he's automatically involved. And then he goes on the plane and he sees Elena and it's like, oh, wow. And then she goes, well, he's like, why don't you let her? I was like, well, it's not just her. There's two of them in there. And he's shocked that there's a baby in there.
No, he's not so shocked, like, about the baby. No,
he was surprised.
I think he kind of put the two and two together, like, when it's the first time seeing a baby. Like, he probably guessed who the baby was, but it's kind of like, you know, once you're there in person, then you know. I think that's more like for the audience.
But no, but what I'm getting at is, did they show the baby in the beginning? Because he seemed surprised that there was a third person in there. So did he not know it was there? Because if not, that means he was really, like, hamstrung for Elena then, which is kind of weird.
I didn't take it that way. Like, maybe it was just how he was acting. I didn't take it as him being surprised, or just him being more, I get to see my son for the first time. And it's kind of funny where him and Letty were talking about that, like, why have we talked about kids and everything? And it's like, yeah, why haven't they? It's kind of like, you know, maybe, well, you have a kid, you're going to be like me, and you can't be running around anymore and stuff. And I didn't think about it at the time. And then it's kind of like, yeah, they were dating, and they were boning in, like, 5 and 6. So, I mean, I wasn't surprised. I hadn't even thought about her having a baby, but it made sense, like, time-wise, because they were together. And you're thinking, like, you know, who else was going to be the dad?
Yeah.
Like, seeing it is kind of like, it makes sense, because it's like, everyone expects, like, Brian and Mia, but then it's like, okay, if it's Brian and Mia, then everyone's going to know, because it's like, they're all friends with Brian and Mia. They're not really, with Elena, it's kind of like, Dom has a relationship and Hobbs does, but the rest of them, it's like, she's really a stranger. So, that part, and then it's like, you know, don't tell anybody. Because it's kind of like, okay, you find out, why don't you tell your friends instead of them thinking like you lost your damn mind? Because, and I know it's the whole thing, and it makes sense where it's like, this woman can see everything, and it's like, if you snitch, I want to know.
Well, apparently not.
Beside that one part where he snuck in, at least they played it off enough where it was a reason why he was able to get away to talk to Helen Mirren for like 3-4 minutes, because they made an effort, like, I'm going to check the cameras, I'm going to check the reflection. Mm-hmm. And I watched Person of Interest enough, and Person of Interest used to do the same thing. And so, like, the whole thing, and like, it's limits to what you can see based on angles. So that part didn't bother me, and it's like,
I just meant how he had everything else set up. Unless, now that I'm thinking about it, unless Helen Mirren was the one that had to get all that set up for him.
Yeah, I think.
Well, no, it couldn't because they brought back, I forgot their names.
Leo and Santos. Leo Santos, yes.
They brought them back for that scene as he was going to talk to Helen Mirren, right? Oh, no, they picked up. Never mind. I got it confused.
Yeah, they picked up. They picked up Jason Statham after he got shot.
And then I was one of the only people in the theater to react to them.
Oh, my friend reacted. I think it's kind of like, because I was lucky when I went to a crowd where people seen the movie, so they recognized people because they came over, they started laughing. It's like, I saw them, it's funny where I saw them in the credits, and then I'm wondering when they're going to show up in the movie, and then they pop up there. You don't, and they throw you off where you don't see Luke Evans' name in the credits, so when he shows up, that's more a surprise, even though you kind of figure they kept talking about him. So they're talking about him for a reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole baby thing was just kind of, it came out of nowhere, but it made sense to a certain extent. I was not expecting them to shoot Elena.
As soon as they pulled that gun, I was like, well, here's the thing. She's a plot contrivance now, so we don't need her and Letty around. Yeah, one of these two have got to go. And it wasn't, my thing was, I expected her to like probably get off later, but when they pulled the gun, I was like, are they really going to execute her? And sure enough, holy crap. I mean, all the other movies, when a main character's died, it's been in some sort of, I want to say tragic, but I mean, getting executed is pretty tragic. But it's in some otherworldly way, I guess. This was
like you're
straight
doing
up
something
violence.
Like the other ones, like your car accident, or I'm going to sacrifice myself to save somebody else. Like in the story, like you're doing something. And this one is like, I'm here to prove it. And then that speech, and that's the whole thing. That speech she gave after, like, I know you feel in a certain way, and, you know, you need to get over it because it's fake. Like, she just basically rubbing it in, and like, yeah, you're not used to, like, you're used to villains. You're not used to evil people. And she just came off like she didn't feel bad. Like, I know why you did what you did, but you got to pay a damn price. And it's like, oh, she's not going to really, I'm thinking she's not going to shoot her. Because I know, and sure enough, and she shot her, they gave the whole, she was good for like giving speeches like, you know, how you feel doing this, this, and this. You know, realize you don't really care about family. Like, you care about being selfish, and I'm doing this. Like, this is the first person kind of like world villain that they had. Because the whole thing is like, you know, I'm doing this to hold the world accountable. Like, if you act up, it's going to be someone like me that's just, you know, I'm the crocodile in the water that's here to snatch your kids if you're not careful. Who says that? Like, what, that's, you're not used to hearing, that's like Marvel stuff. You're not used to hearing that from a Fast and Furious villain. You used to hear it like, you know, I'm just trying to get paid, or I'm just trying to sell these drugs. Not, I'm here to hold the world in check.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things. Like, she was an actual truly evil villain that apparently has been the evil force behind the last two, which this one, like, they go into the Statham thing with her and even Evans. Wait, it's Shaw, right? Deckard and Shaw, right?
Yeah. Deckard and Owen.
That's it. And it was like going to the end when he dropped the baby off. I figured that was it, and I expected The Rock to say something to him, like, we're not doing it here. Next time I see you. Just something like that. And have him take off. So when he's sitting there, I was like, wait a minute. They're not going to try and shoehorn Statham into the rest of these. I mean, they kind of did in this one, but it was effective. And really, it's, you got Jason Statham. Why would you get rid of him? I understand that. But it was just odd. Like, you noticed Owen wasn't around. He just told the guys to land the plane. That's the last you saw of Luke Evans.
Yeah, and because it's kind of like he has more of a grudge because you saw his face as his brother referred to him Scarface.
Yeah.
And I did laugh because it's kind of like,
dick. Yeah,
you could tell these seem like real like asshole brothers who love each other but don't like each other because it's kind of I can't believe he called him that, and I just started laughing. I'll say this though. People want, like, he did save his son. Like, so you can see why, it's kind of like, you killed my, because if anybody going to be pissed about Han, it's going to be Dom, because he had the closest relationship than, like, as far as everybody else that was there. Like, you know, they rolled together, they had the most missions together and everything like that. So if he's able to forgive him, it's, and I've seen, like, maybe it's because I've watched wrestling and I've seen enough stuff where, you know, like, I saw Triple H throw Randy Orton out the window of his house, and then 6 months later, they're best buddies. So wrestling may have spoiled me enough for that to happen. But it did definitely stand out, that part like this. And
But what I was getting at was like that was like kind of like the gussing up of old villains. I mean, you know, they cleaned him off. I mean, The Rock was a villain, I guess, but he was more the tweener, because I actually watched 5 last night after I got home, and it was just odd. And I'm trying to think, like, who did they bring into the fold before? I mean, I guess they were all kind of at each other's throat, but
that's the first. I think it's okay watching the movies. It's funny where you look at the villains and adversaries. Like, Dom is the villain of the first one.
Yeah.
People kind of forget that because they focus on Johnny Tran. Like, no, Johnny Tran is the villain of Dom. Dom's the villain of the movie because it's kind of like Brian's there to investigate people that's, you know, hijacking trucks and stealing DVD players. And that's all of them. That's Dom and Letty and Vince and Jesse and the other guy that never came back in any other movies. Can't remember his name. So, no, it's like two, like, you know, it's him, it's Tyrese and Ludacris, and then they show up in 5. 3 is basically almost like a whole different universe, except for Dom showing up at the end. Han gets added because he's liked so much. So, you know, 4 is Giselle. I guess Giselle's like the first one that's like a villain.
Yeah.
That gets added to the team. And because you keep in mind, she set them up to die. She's like, you know, it's nothing personal, it's business. People kind of tend to forget about that. And that one, like, yeah, she was a villain. She just turned, you know, because he saved her life. So she was the first one. The Rock was the second one. But even then, it's kind of like, you know, they were more adversaries. They weren't trying to, The Rock was just trying to, you know, arrest them. She was more like, you know, it's just business. But yeah. Jason Statham was the first one that was like actually like the main villain that's now joining the team, and at least they put enough effort to try to explain why, because it's kind of like, you know, this is payback. I don't like her either. I'm not on your team. We ain't singing behind the fire and anything like that. I'm just here to get her because she messed with my family.
Yeah,
and y'all assholes should know all this about family. can we talk about this? Okay, before we've been jumping around.
No, it's fine.
And, yeah,
people
so
can go see the movie for themselves. So.
Yeah, so, you know, she gives him the mission, and then Hobbs is there. And then they set him up, like, basically why he would leave, because, like, him and his family. And that whole set got the biggest laughs in my theater, because it was just so damn absurd. Like,
oh,
it was basically
dance?
Like the Rock. The dance
oh,
and him
God.
Being a, the dance, and these kids look like, what? Because those kids were selling that dance like they were into it. And these other kids, like, what the hell? Like, I ain't mess with these crazy ass girls and they like that. And then the government aide is showing up and he's like, I'm here to take care of my daughter. Why don't you get the hell out of my face?
Yeah, that was Rock's overacting part one. Rock really hammed it up in this one. Because when I was watching 5 last night, he was dead serious. And this whole time, I mean, he was huge in this one. Which, I mean, that's fine. I mean, it would almost be kind of insulting to be mellow in this movie.
Oh, you mean, you know? You surprised that he was hamming up considering he was doing bicep curls with a...
Oh! How awesome was that? Yeah.
Yeah. Just to prove a point. Just to prove a point when Jason A. saying, come on, look at those muscles all show no go. It's like, I'm going to show you asshole and I'm going to start doing bicep curls. Like, this is Lucha Underground. And I'm like, these are just two locker room doofuses.
Yeah,
and it's funny. That's the whole vibe. Like, I gotta one up you. Like, oh, you can do this. Watch me do that.
I just liked how Statham though was just like, all right, cool. So you pulled it out of the wall, and just like so. And I liked the back and forth. And, you know, they said the Cherokee drum thing on the commercials and all that. But yeah, I just liked Statham just poking at him the whole time. He's like, oh, like the last time that I threw you out of a window. He goes, I jumped out of a window. He goes, I really remember throwing you out.
Yeah, it's like, oh, at least I didn't have a girl helping me out.
Yeah.
No, you could tell what was going to be when it first come in EC. And like, oh, you know, you better start digging. Last time somebody told me it's like 30 feet of concrete and steel. Better start digging. And then did the whole thing with the shovel. Like, basically making fun of the line from the last movie. It's like, oh, it's going to be one of those tight relationships. And yeah, that jail scene where, okay, Jason Statham, just, I'm just going to flip through everything and I can beat everybody up. And The Rock's like, oh, you shoot me a rubber bullet. That's a rubber bullet's hurt. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, like, they can't kill you most of the time unless you shoot them somewhere you're not supposed to shoot them. But you ain't shrugging them off unless, I guess, you're The Rock. And he basically had turned like, you know what? This is going to be an Incredible Hulk. Like, I'm, forget this whole, I'm a super cop, I'm a superhero now. I'm bulletproof. I can clothesline four, I can kick one person, knock down four people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just watching that whole thing. Like, it's just, you know what? Is it really that surprising considering the stuff we've seen since Fast 4? Like, people make the jokes all the time saying, like, they might as well be superheroes. So, fine. Go with it. We always say, like, they know, they understand who's watching these movies, and it's kind of like, why mess around?
Like, oh, really? Oh, they went full superhero with Rock in this one. Remember when he punched the steel whatever?
Mm-hmm.
After Decker supposedly got killed? And he leaves a gigantic dent, like the Hulk trying to break out of a steel prison. Like, oh, and wait a minute, to go back to the prison before he rips the bench off the wall, he was straight punching the wall.
Yeah.
And his hands like started bleeding.
Yeah. I guess you want to show, like, the guy from the Raid 2, like, yeah, you can punch a wall, but right, my hands ain't bleeding because I ain't a pussy.
Yeah. Like, what the heck? No, and I really like the prison escape, and I kind of forgot that they showed the end of it, basically, on the commercials, but I enjoyed, like, the door opened, and Rock was all calm, like, hey, guys, this is a, what, security glitch, whatever. He's like, a short circuit or something. He's just staying in there. And then all of a sudden, Statham figures out a way out. He's like, ah, and he's just like, oh, fuck these guys, and just beats everybody up.
Yeah, because it's funny how, like, he knew Kurt Russell's character, even though it's kind of like they talked about, like, you know, mutual friend and Furious 7, because they didn't interact together on the screen in the last movie, but they knew each other. It's like, you know, I know why you're here. You're not going, you know, I'm going to do this the right way. I'm not trying to escape and anything like this. Almost kind of like, I want to do stuff. He's always been like a Mr. By the Book, unless absolutely necessary. And it's like, they kind of pushed him out of it. I'll say this because it came up. I was surprised by how much I like Scott Eastwood in this movie, because I was thinking I was not going to like him at all. All
right. And so I'm glad you brought him up. That's where I wanted to go next anyways. Are they going to try and use him as a replacement for Paul Walker?
No.
Because that was the vibe I got. Like, hey, we need our, you know, and not that Brian was a doofus or anything, but it's like, hey, we can start the cycle over with this guy who thinks, you know, he can do everything. Now we're gonna train him and bring him into the family, sort of thing.
Oh, no, because they played him too much like a clown, bro. Like Brian, like, because right. Brian was never like a clown. Brian was always like, you know, he was getting laughed at because he was like square white bread Buster or whatever like that, but he was never like a joke. And this guy's always like, you know, I swear I'm the cat's ass, and kept falling on his face over and over and over again. And kudos to him, like, it's funny, like, the whole vibe between him, Tyrese, and Ludacris is kind of like, he's trying to play it straight. Tyrese would clown on him, Ludacris would clown on both of them, watch, rinse, repeat. And it was simple, but it kept on working, because normally we always make fun about, you know, you get generic white guy, he's got the square face, he looks cool, and he's going to be like, you know, the avatar for the audience, and we see stuff through his eyes, and like, it's easy to root for him because he can look like everybody. And this guy was basically like the comic relief. And they treated him like the comic relief. Like, everybody was saying, like, you know, you don't know what you're in for, kid. You need to calm down. He like, nah, I got this, because yada, yada, yada. And kept getting proved wrong to the end, where it's like, you know what? Maybe I need to start listening to you guys, and like, because y'all been doing this a lot longer than me. Because normally you wouldn't see that. You wouldn't see, like, the guy like him playing, like, the doofus in a movie like this. He'd be like Paul Walker, like Lucas Black, because Lucas Black wasn't the doofus either. He just sounded like one because he had that accent and kept messing up. But he wasn't like, you know, the clown relief, because he's the star of the movie. This guy's, him not being a star allowed him to do that, because it was kind of like, it's not about, he's just there, but it's not about him.
Yeah, and what's funny is, I mean, Scott Eastwood's not a huge name, but I mean, it is Clint Eastwood's son. Mm-hmm. And seeing him in that sort of role was kind of weird, because they didn't use him much in Suicide Squad, but he was one of Flag's soldiers.
Yeah.
He was like Flag's right-hand man, outside of, well, I know, I guess he would have been. But then I saw him in another, like a Western, where he was like, you know, it was like a modern take on a Western. It was pretty good. Kind of falls, it's a low budget thing, so you're not getting anything great. But so it was just kind of weird to see him in that role. And I also appreciated the fact that he knows how to drive drift cars as well. Just, you know, we're all taking off, right? I'm coming with you. You don't know how to drive as well as we do. Nah, I'm good. And he does screw up, but he's still like, all right, I guess anybody can have a license.
Yeah, they're saying, like, calm down, don't chase you. Like, nah, I got this, and you don't have this. And seeing The Rock basically hold him sideways against the wall, he's brought up like, oh, if you're not going to do it for your country, do it for your daughter. And Kurt Russell's like, oh, why did you go there? Like, he knows exactly where he's going, and The Rock broke the cuffs. Yes. Body slammed and held him sideways, just looking like he could have split him in half like a damn Pop-Tart.
Yeah, I actually dug that scene quite a bit, because most of the time something like that happens, everyone freaks out, and Kurt Russell just stands in between and is like, hey, look, he's new, he screwed up, just cut him some slack, all right? You want to do it your way, do it your way. And he goes, all right, and puts him down. I was like, oh, thank God, they didn't drag it out for like 5 minutes of, you know, the pressure increasing, and is he going to kill him or not? And I was very happy about that, because Kurt Russell, Mr. Nobody, I like how everyone just calls him Nobody still, I liked him. He was kind of like Statham in this one. He just came in, did his thing, and took off.
Yeah, and he was always like the voice of reason. Like, you know, basically he knew, like, you know, this guy's new, and just let him be. Yeah. Like, normally you had those lead types, like, screaming, ah, da-da-da-da, you blew your cover, and just about to burst a damn capillary, because they always screaming. Him was like, I've been around the block. We got to do this, because, you know, we can't do that, and this is how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. Like, this isn't my first rodeo. And speaking of first rodeo, okay, we've been talking about the movie stuff without the scenes. That New York scene with the cars freaked me the hell out.
Okay, one, I'm guessing all of those cars had self-driving on them?
Yeah.
Okay.
She asked specifically for all those. Yeah. And
so how about we don't do self-driving then?
Some people
let's get rid of that now.
People have brought that up saying, like, this, they saying this was kind of, like, real irresponsible. Like, Uber will want to sue the Fast and Furious. Because you think about that, like, people brag about, you know, you can park yourself and it's semi-autonomous. And it's been things where people have wondered about, you know, cars getting hacked. Like, that's an issue. It's not a big issue because.
Not yet.
Still, like, a, not yet, but yeah. People have talked about it. So to see how it could be if somebody wanted to do something like that was. Just imagine you just minding your business and your car just drives off.
Yeah. No. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
And I'm just watching this, like, that whole scene, like, because, of course, only the Russians will have, you know, we're going to have a Gatling gun in the truck.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
Like Fast Five. And you just there mind your business and everything like that. And then you see one car, and then two cars, then five, and then it's just. At this, by the time it's raining cars, it's like, yeah, that was just because it's an ingenious plan. Like you can't stop nothing like that. So it's like, how could you even handle the whole thing? Like, so using cars as a weapon just shows sometimes somebody with a keyboard can do way more than somebody with a gun, mm-hmm. And it just show, like, you know, how what Charlize Theron could do, and people make fun of all, like, you know, the super hackers and stuff, and like, you think you could do anything with a hack. You could, people try to hack cars. Like, you can do certain things, that stuff that you couldn't do in the 90s, you can do now. And that part was scary. Then the whole thing where they harpooned the car, like you knew that scene was gonna go, but you didn't know how it played out. And it was like, yeah, like that whole New York scene was just a lot of stuff going on that just made you see, like, wow.
Well, I think the problem, that the one part that bothered me was, like, with the cars, I mean, obviously there's a sensationalist part with all of them falling out of the buildings and that, but it was, I think it was the very first car. They took it over, and it was just ramming into the car in front of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like, this was a thought later that you just, since you started talking about it, came back up now, I'm just thinking, holy God, that would be terrifying. You can't do anything. Like, they even had, like, one cab driver jump out of his car, and some people in the theater laugh. I'm like, that's not funny.
No, they laugh because he left a fare in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's because it's kind of like, it's funny where that's a scary thing, but it's just so absurd. I think it's because of the amount. Where if it's like maybe one or two, it'd be more scary. It's like 500. It's it's scary, but it's just like so absurd to see it. And yeah, that it's funny where the movie is kind of like a couple short action scenes and then two real long action scenes. Like the whole New York scene was like maybe 20, 25 minutes. And then like the last one, as soon as they hit Russia, the last like, it was almost like Rogue One. The last 30 to 45 minutes was a straight action. So you see that. And then, you know, you see the whole thing like Letty, like she was going through it because it's like, you know, I want to have kids. And then the love of my life just, you know, okay, turn. Everybody's like, well, maybe he did do something. Like, you know, Ramsey brings it up, and she's like, you know, he saved your life. Like, you don't know him. Like, shut up about my man. And it's not even. And then when they broke in and stole the guy's eye, Charlize Theron kind of looked after she gets his piece, like, you know, how you going to turn on your family? Because she was just going to leave. So, like, she looks at Ben, gets the kiss. They kiss for like 6 seconds. They get the little 2 second kiss again, and then just leaves and said, "Let's go," and everything like that. And Ben just has this look like, "I can't say anything. I don't want to go through this." But she don't know that. So it's like everything about like, you know, I want to still have faith in my man. And even at the end, when Hobbs is like, you know, if it come to him, I might have to put him down. She's like, "You may have to put us both down." And like, she never gave up hope. You need a woman like that in your life.
Even if she just now started to remember you a couple weeks earlier, but you know, whatever. I lost my train of thought. God damn it. The car stuff. I think the one part that kind of bring like totally out of reality though, obviously, but I didn't expect that scene to be so large with all the cars. I mean, when they showed all those cars going around the corner and how they were all just doing U-ies and coming backwards and getting in formation and all that, I was like, this is incredible. And I didn't look any of this up. They had to have CGI'd some of this.
Yes.
Okay, because I know they don't usually.
They try not. They say they only use CGI when they have to. And keep in mind, that was actually filmed in New York. So it's not like we're going to take 1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's funny where in Rio, they wrecked about 100, 150 cars when they did that scene. So, but I'm thinking even them, they have a limit to their budget. Like, we only can do so much in New York City, and it's actually in New York City, which is good. Not like we're going to pretend to be in New York and we're really in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Like a lot of things, though. So, yeah, that stood out. And then we just jumped around and get the whole thing in Russia. And then,
the Russian.
They were violent. Like, Michelle Rodriguez was murdering people. Mm-hmm. She maybe is like, it's funny where they talked about how she used to roll with, like, you know, Owen's crew and, like, Fast Six and everything like that. So you don't know what you knew she was running with him, but you don't know what she was doing. Like, you know, she remembered that guy that tried to recruit him, like, Mr. Game of Thrones. His whole thing is, like, you know, his basically whole thing was to, you know, to kind of threaten Vin Diesel and, like, laugh at him. And that's his whole plot thing. Like, I'm going to threaten you every 30 minutes and keep, you know, set you straight. And then the whole thing is like, well, I'll let you pick the first person I shoot. Oh, you're not going to pick? I could shoot your wife then.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I got IMDb pulled up. His name is Rhodes. Everybody only has one name, basically.
Connor Rhodes. He has a first name.
Oh, see, on here they just said Rhodes.
Yeah, I remember his first name. Yeah, Connor Rhodes.
Okay, so a little bit of quick trivia then. What was Scott Eastwood's character's name?
Nobody Jr.
Well, they've got him listed as Little Nobody. I remember he was called Nothing, and then Nobody Jr. But then didn't they give his name? Or is this another one where it's like, just don't worry about it?
they may have gave him a name, but it's kind of like everybody called him whatever. So it's like, and they made a joke about like at the end. It's funny you brought up names. Like no one has like a either it's all one name because Ramsey brought up too when Eitan date her is like, oh, any of you guys know my last name? And he's kind of like, well, when you do, get back to me. So little stuff like that is like. The new people tend to have like a first name, a last name, or no name. So, but yeah, back to the Russian thing. That whole thing was just one. How insane is it? Even though if it's Tyree's character, okay, you drive him on ice. You got a Lamborghini.
Yeah, that okay. I like that they pointed out the absurdity of it. All right, wait a minute. I know. I gotta back up. In an absolutely absurd movie universe that they have. They actually had to point out how absurd it was for him to drive an orange Lamborghini on ice.
With no snow tires. That they also pointed out. And they made fun of him for doing it multiple times. And he kind of deserved it. And this, because I'm glad, like, you know, they got tank. Like, you know, they got the tank and it shows up later. The Rock has that super truck mobile. Everybody's got trucks and stuff. Vin Diesel has his supercharger. That's like a turbine engine in the EMP device and is like almost rocket proof. And then this jackass has an orange Lamborghini. Because at first he wanted to use it in New York and they're like, no, it costs too much. So here you can use a Bentley before?
Yeah.
That was which was actually a slick looking car. Like, of course, he'd go with like what looks nice, not what's the most practical one. Because that's, and it's funny where that's his character. But that's been his character since like Fast Five, because Fast Two he was like, you know, hard ass serious, like mean, and ever since, and now it's like, you know, I'm ha ha, like, oh, I made Interpol's list, I'm number 11, I can make the top 10, like little stuff like that. So of course, him having a Lamborghini didn't make any sense. They made it out, they didn't make any sense. They're trying to argue on what plan to do, and it's like, well, I got to do this, and Ludacris like, wow, you can't do this, I gotta do this first. And they argued, like, Rock like, we'll do both.
Yeah, and it's funny because it worked out. It was almost as if they'd written it that way.
So they have the scene, and first you see, you know, Vin Diesel doing this whole thing, hits the EMP. People forget, like, I love when they use EMP in movies, because it's like, it's something simple that's just so damn effective. Like, you use this thing and it knocks out technology, like, and it has real-world applications, so it's kind of like you don't have to use a whole bunch of pseudoscience. It makes sense. Use it, recharge, use it again. So he gets there. Then the team shows up, and Charlize Theron is like, why these jackasses keep doing this? And then you realize, like, you know, you see The Rock with a gun. You're used to him having a soldier. Michelle Rodriguez just gunning folks down was not as kind of was unexpected. I saw the trailers, and I saw the commercials, but I'm thinking she's just going to have the gun in my, you know, I just got the gun. Not, I'm going to have the gun, and I'm a gun down whoever I need to gun down to find out what's wrong with my man. And that fist fight she had with the dude was, that was a rough-looking fight.
It's funny, the gun stuff bothered me, too, because I wasn't used to it. But then go back, and 4 or 5, there was a big scene in... 5, you know, where Rock's guys get ambushed, and they break out, and Brian and the guy that died in that one, can't remember his name. They all come out, guns blazing, shooting guys, and they've kind of gotten away from that, because even 5, I don't believe, there was a like, whole lot of gunplay,
yeah,
I don't believe.
Like, yeah, because Brian, at least you can see, like, Brian was a cop, so you see him with guns, and... Up until, like, it was funny. It was more funny seeing from Vin Diesel, because he was like this badass, but he didn't really kill any. The first person he killed was like the end of the 4th one.
Yeah.
When he killed the dude that he thought, like, Letty, that killed Letty. And Brian, I still laugh because Brian holds the guy's foot to make sure he don't run away to get T-boned by a car. Like, that scene always makes me laugh. But so before then, it's like they've never really been like killers. And even Ben brought it up in like Sphere 7, like, you know, they're the best drivers in the world, they're my great team, but they're not stone cold killers. So that's why we leave it early. Like, him and Brian are used to doing that, but the rest of them weren't. So to see her doing it, it's kind of like, I guess it's like, you know, she was doing stuff in six that we didn't, like, she was rolling with Owen Shaw. You assume they didn't have any problem killing people, which kind of opens up that window, but they never really, like, talked about it.
Yeah.
So to see her just gunning people down definitely stood out. You all used to seeing her fights with women.
Yes.
The first time you, like, fighting with men, and she was getting the crap kicked out of her. Like, she was putting up a good fight, but they wasn't making out like she was just steamrolling this dude. There was no problem. And she was getting ass beat.
And then they pulled an Raiders of the Lost Ark move. As soon as that engine started up again, and they went outside on the balcony, I was like, please, are they really going to do this? And all of a sudden, there he goes over the edge, and you got as they move the camera up, you see just a little bit of blood splatter. I was like, this franchise isn't exactly known for subtlety, so I think we could have figured out that he hit the blade.
Yeah, it's also not known for blood either.
Yes.
That's the first time, I know how violent this movie was, and it's funny where these are like action-filled movies, but they weren't, like, super violent, what it's called, like, guns. It's like people get in fights, but they walk away.
Yeah.
Dude with the beard did not walk away, and Vin Diesel basically punched his head straight off his neck.
I was very shocked by that one.
My movie theater actually screamed, holy shit. I think a little kid looked at me, because I was like, whoa. And a little kid looked and just started laughing. That was sitting, like, in front of me. Because it was unexpected. Like, I was like, He ain't playing. Like, he actively murdered this man, like, went out and broke. And it's kind of like they always been self-defense or you know, it's funny where beginning of the movie they use that damn steel wrecking ball to just knock down 15 cars, probably kill, like, you know, half the people. But you don't think about it because it's cars, you don't see the body. That one you don't think about. Seeing him break somebody's neck and, like, you know, with his hands resonated a lot more. Funny how violence is like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's even like the tank scene in four. No, six.
Six. Mm-hmm.
God damn. Trying to keep them all straight. I mean, how many people died in that scene? I mean, he's in a tank just mowing cars over. And I know, like, later in the scene they started showing people jumping out of him. But it's like, nah, they're dead. There's a lot of dead people here. And I can't imagine how many people died just on the zombie cars, whatever it's calling them. So, okay, so I guess we need to talk about the ends a little bit more, obviously. But what do you think about all right, so I've read some reviews and just whatever, but what do you think about this criticism of the zombie car stuff?
Because I don't get it.
I've read people saying that, well, if you're going to have, you know, if you're going to be able to have, like, self-driving cars that drive by themselves, then what's the point of this franchise? And I'm like, so I'm just thinking, did you not watch? Do you not understand that it wasn't about, this isn't Transformers or Mask. This is a movie where the bad guy took over stuff. I mean.
Oh, you know what I noticed? It's different type of Fast and Furious fans. Like, it's people like us that, like, watch all the movies, enjoy the movies and stories and things like that. But then it's like people that kind of, like, you know, they like it, but they almost feel embarrassed to like it. And then you got, like, it's a certain subset of, like, snob fans. Like, it's a lot of people, and I always laugh, like, when they rank what's the best ones. It's a whole lot of people who like Tokyo Drift is, like, the best one and hate what happened from, like, Fast Five onward. Like, they missed the old ones, and they had this whole thing, like, it's about the cars and, you know, the story and stuff like that. Like, it's, and I always laugh, like, if you criticize the acting of Fast and Furious, which you can, whatever, but you say Tokyo Drift is your favorite one, I'm gonna look at you sideways, because that has the worst, because beside Han, that has the worst acting of all of them, because most of them jokers can't act or can't act, basically. Like, it was trash. So, it's funny where people look, they like it for different things. Like, some people like it for the story, but some people like it for, like, the cars and driving. And the whole thing is, like, you know, if they ain't driving, then what's the point? It's like, they move past that. Like, it's, these are action movies that just involve cars. These aren't driving movies anymore.
Yeah, and that's why I'm. It's funny, some of the people I've seen have coined the phrase zombie cars, which, whatever. But then also you see where they're from, and they're the exact person you would think wouldn't like these.
Mm-hmm.
But then something like some art house comes across about someone blossoming into a flower, and it's the most powerful movie they've ever seen. Until the next movie that comes out where someone's blossoming into a flower. And then they go, you know, these movies are loud, dumb, incoherent. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of the fun of
No, actually, I mean, you know, that's the whole thing is like, I always get mad when people describe the movies like that. Like, no, they're loud movies. They're not dumb. They're like, these movies aren't dumb. It's not dumb fun. It's super fun. You know what's dumb? And because I don't mind dumb movies, Transformers. That's a movie. I was thinking about that when people talk about. They describe Fast and Furious movies like they should describe Transformers movies. And even then, sometimes Transformers don't fit that. People say, oh, I don't know what's going on. Then you blind. Like, it's not that hard to see stuff. Like, it's easy to follow Fast and Furious movie and then the fight scenes of Batman Begins.
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, where it's kind of like, oh. Like, Christopher Nolan basically gets a pass because it's kind of like, I'm going to present an idea, action, so I'm just going to jump cut. You're going to see a punch, a kick, and a bunch of bats fly around. You don't know what the hell you saw. Like, it could have been John Belushi in a Batman suit for all I know. Like, the way he filmed some of that stuff. Like, Fast and Furious, if you actually watch the movies, you know what's going on. You know the story behind it. They bent over backwards trying to explain stuff that they feel is important and make stuff fit. Like, they actively go to make a universe that makes it. Like, think about, they basically made Tokyo Drift a sequel to make the explanation of, like, why is Han still alive and why he is what he is.
Yeah.
And make it a way so by the time if you watch Tokyo Drift after you watch the other ones, Tokyo Drift makes a lot more sense because it's like, Han makes a lot more sense because you've seen his whole thing. Most movie franchises tend to like X-Men is like, oh, we just rebooted, whatever. This one bends over backwards, like, you know, this villain worked for this villain. This person's like this because of that. Like, Charlize Theron, like we talked about earlier, Charlize Theron's whole thing was because she was trying to do stuff and Dom kept getting in the way. How? Fast 6, Fast 7. Like, Fast 6 was basically a sequel to two movies at the same time, because it was like a sequel to Fast 5. It was also a sequel to Fast 4. Like, they explain, like, you know, Braga and Shaw worked together. That's how Shaw knew about Letty in the first place.
Yeah.
And yada, yada, yada. Like, they make an effort to make stuff make sense. And they film most of their stuff. They try to be as practical as possible. And because the voice CGI. So when I hear this whole thing, it's like, oh, it's dumb, it's stupid. Like, you can't make fun of Fast and Furious, but then say, oh, how gritty John Wick is when people walk around with bulletproof dress shirts.
Yeah, true.
I mean, sometimes people just have this whole, and you brought up too, people have this whole snob idea about movies that kind of like, oh, it don't make sense. It's like most movies, if it's not really a documentary, you can easily break stuff down and say it don't make sense. Like, if you really want to. If you want to play that game and break it down and, like, critically think about it, most of these movies do not stand up to logic. That's not the point of the movies. The point is, like, you want to go there and enjoy yourself. If you're not enjoying it, fine. Don't enjoy it. Don't see it. But if you, like, you kind of know what you're getting into at this point seeing a Fast and Furious movie. So if you go in there expecting one thing and you don't see it because it's not what you want, that's on you.
Yeah, I'm sure the critics will respond back saying, well, I have to see these. Well, then you shouldn't, because you're wasting your newspaper's time. And we all know newspapers are a dying thing because no one reads them now. So maybe they should save some money. But anyways, we got to wrap up with the end. And really, I don't know what there is to tell or talk about with the end, because that scene goes on a long time, but the trailers, whatever, they showed you some of the big parts, but it's still, it was still not jaw-dropping, but just ridiculous.
Yeah, they Yeah, it's kind of like you thought you saw, okay, you know, a submarine going to jump up and chase him a little bit. It's like, no, a submarine jumped down like two or three times, fired a heat-seeking missile. Like, oh yeah, we got to talk about that scene, the heat-seeking missile scene.
Okay.
Now, if that's not the most corniest but Fast and Furious thing that did, like the whole thing is like, you know, Dom's finally on the team. They're like, okay, I'm glad you're rolling. Whatever was going on, I'm sure you tell us later. So at this point, and it's funny because like Charlize Theron been all cool and calm the whole movie, and at by this point she is just pissed. Like what happened to my plan, and Dom talking trash like, you know, like your plan was ruined for the moment you grabbed me on the damn plane, and just talking his trash because he basically, and they show the flashbacks of like how he recruited the Shaws with her mom and used technology to do it. So everything. So she shoots the heat-seeking missile. He's like split up, so he has a turbine car. He drives up a mountain so he can get enough air. And you see what's happening once, you know, like as soon as she shoots the missile, you know what the plan is. Like, you know, it's gonna, you know, you shoot a missile, it's heat seeking. He has a heat car. It's gonna go right back in the sub. But you don't know how it's gonna happen. So you see the jump. He makes the jump. Clips the submarine, because of course, like, you know, you're gonna make that jump, make it look slightly realistic. It blows up the submarine. They make it realize, like, yeah, this is going to be a big-ass explosion. He jumps out the car. Even Dominic Toretto is normally not going to survive this type of explosion. So what do? We're going to form a barrier around it. Like, because that's what we do. Like, you only, like, they didn't have to think about us. Like, that's our friend. Our friend's in trouble. Form a circle. And people started clapping when that happened. Because it's kind of like, if that ain't Fast and Furious and that ain't family, I don't know what Fast and Furious is. Like...
Yeah, as soon as that happened, I turned to Elise and I was like, "That's not how fire works." And she goes, "Yeah, I didn't think so. Like, none of the cars were melted, or burned, or charred."
But guess what?
You know,
you know what? Remember the race? No, think about it. Remember the race in the beginning when they showed the heat and the windows cracking in the car and how long it took for the window to break. They built up that explosion from the first race in the beginning of the movie about what fire does to cars and their universe. Because it was kind of like, you know, he's driving backwards, his brakes not working. You see the heat affecting the glass. You see the heat affecting the glass, and it finally breaks and everything like that. He's still driving like a car that's on fire is about to blow up, like it's no problem. But it's like, you know, heat would take a certain amount of thing to do this. And it's like, they didn't just have a regular car. Like, two of them had tanks. So,
okay.
That part I can see, and the Lamborghini is long gone because he's basically surfing on a Lamborghini door in Russia. It's something I thought I would never see in my life. Like, there's just so much stuff in this movie just so absurd. It's kind of like,
see, here's the thing with the fire though. That was just from a car. This is from a submarine exploding. Do you understand how hot that would be?
Yes, I do understand,
yeah.
Jeremy.
So it's
is it more or less? Hold up.
I know where you're going. Shut up. I know where you're going.
From Fast Six, is it more or less hot than a damn jumbo jet exploding?
I actually jumped out of my seat because I was like, "Shit, he's beat me to it." Yeah, that's where I was going with that. Actually, you know, I mean, well, that's different because that's Dom walking out of fire. That's not other cars. So, you know. That was on the other night, and that scene still cracks me up. He walks out, and I'm like, Dom! I'm like, he'd be burnt to a crisp right now.
Yeah,
but
jet fuel doesn't melt steel beams, and doesn't melt Dominic Toretto, apparently.
And then, Han, where's Giselle? Oh. Dom! I said, oh, boy, Giselle, boy,
you always play that scene wrong. It's like, first, the team's excited about seeing Dom, and then... me is asking about Giselle, and Hans, like, he just lost. Like, that movie is still sad to end, because when they had the dinner table, when they had the picnic table, Han is just looking miserable. Like, yeah, I need to get away from you guys. Like, I just lost my girl. And he just looking so hangdog. And then, it's funny when you compare, like, those things, like, you compare that one and then this one. Like, so they do all this stuff in Russia. They save the day. He explains what happened. And then... they're just eating corn on the cob like it's no thing. Wait. So, Basically, it's almost like The Rock is like, what, is he done? Or is he just done working for the government? Because this whole thing was kind of like...
He's done working for the government, is what I get.
Yeah. Yeah, so, because it's funny, like, his whole thing was, you know, he wants to spend time with his daughter, and his daughter gets mad whenever she has to go to work. And it's like, that's kind of gnawing on him. It's like, you know what, I've been working for the government for 16 years. Daddy's not going to work anymore. It's time for Daddy to go home. And they... It's funny where they played, like, you didn't realize he had a daughter to the seventh one. And then they build enough on it, so it's like he's a single dad, because they never talk about you know, the mom. So it's like, show how much he loves his daughter. It's like, you know, family comes first. The whole movie was based about family, from Dom, Hobbs, and Deckard Shaw's point of view, because it was all based, like, everybody was doing what they were doing for family, more or less. And that's been the whole backbone of the movie. People laugh at it. It's like, that's why you care about these people. It's like, we've been watching these movies for like 16 years now, and we've seen them do stuff. Why do people think people go see these movies? It's like, people, it's just dumb. It's fun. Like, no. If that's all it was, people would have stopped watching a long time ago. People would treat like Pirates of the Caribbean. So.
Yeah, there's. Yeah, well. Let me get into that, I guess, next week. What does come out coming up?
Guardians in a couple weeks.
That's not for a few weeks, but because
everybody else has been staying away from this movie.
Let's see. No, wrong one. What do we got? I have nothing written down for the 21st and 28th, and then we got Guardians of the Galaxy. So,
yeah, May is when it really picks up for movies.
Yeah. All right, but yeah. So, but no, it's this movie is exactly what you want it to be and exactly what you expect it to be. And if you like these movies, you can't possibly go and watch this and go, I didn't like it. It's like, well, all right, I don't know what you want then. So now the way they ended it, like they end all of them, there was no post-credit scene though. I waited about halfway through, and I'm like, no, there isn't one, and took off. That was kind of a surprise, because this one almost seemed like a fitting ending.
Except for the fact that the villain got away.
Right. If they would have tied that up, that would have been the end of it. So I'm guessing they're going to rope her in for another.
I think that was the point, because it was kind of like, you know, she's out and about, but she can't do this anymore. And like we said, like villains normally don't get away. Mm-mm. And it's like, villains, so... It's basically set up where there's enough stuff that happened where you don't really need a post-credit stuff, because like the sequel makes sense, because it's like she's still out there. They can still get payback, because it's kind of like, you know, they stopped her from doing her plan. She still killed Elena and tried to murder all of them. So yeah. she's still out and about. So everybody there has beef with her. It's like, you know, the Shaws do, and they do. So. And yeah, it's got to be. It's been too much talk about Han for him not to come back. And the producer said, like, I was reading a podcast. He was like, if there was one thing he would have changed, that he could have changed, like, you know, not killing Han would have been the, like, leaving Han alone would have been the one. But it's like Justin Lin, like you said, the director had a reason for doing it. And I think the reason makes sense in Tokyo Drift, but Han being so good kind of bit them in the ass, because they lost two characters doing that. And it's like, but there's no way around. It's kind of like, I don't think they realize how the series was going to turn. And I think it's funny where one character has caused so much, even in a good way, so much trouble to kind of like fix the storyline around him. Because Han wasn't like a main character, but he was so like fun and liked, and people liked him so much. It's like, well, we got to keep him in the movies. That created a whole bunch of problems. And it's funny, not lying with him, like him. It's funny where we talked about it. We just said Giselle's dead. How? Owen Shaw, like, you know, Letty didn't die. We saw what happened fast forward. Like, she should have died. Owen Shaw should have died, and he's back. Like, you didn't, you know, but somehow we just say, oh, you know, Giselle and Han died. I mean, really? Like, would it be that surprising if they came back?
Okay. It wouldn't be a much of a surprise, but at the same time, Han, I guess you could say he escaped from the wreckage. Hal, whatever, he escaped. Giselle would be a tougher one, because they were doing God knows how fast. She fell off of that, was a truck or whatever, car, whatever it was. I know Vin Diesel can survive. I'm sorry, Dominic Toretto can survive that, but
not even Dominic Toretto. Keep in mind, who else got injured from falling out of something that was going a lot faster from a distance? Owen Shaw, that we didn't see running around. The only thing he has is face acne. Like, he fell out of a damn plane.
Yeah, so I prefer, honestly, if it's as much as I like them, I just prefer if they stay dead.
I can see Giselle staying dead because she's probably too busy doing, like, Wonder Woman stuff.
Yeah.
I can easily see Han. No. You know why I can see Han coming back? Because it would explain more. It would make the whole character arc or, like, the Shaws being cool at the table, like, more palatable. Like, okay, well, Han didn't die. We really don't have a reason to be mad at him anymore. Because right now, it's like, that's the main complaint I've seen from people in reviews. It's kind of like fans. If a lot of people feel like it's a slap in the face where family is such an important thing, and you just let him slide because he had reasons for doing what he's doing, and he saved a baby. Nobody knew. He saved a break baby that nobody knew about. And it's kind of like, they do have a point where I can't really be that mad at them for people, because I kind of felt I'm the type to kind of like give leeway to stuff like that if they make sense or they try to explain it. And they tried to explain it, but it's still kind of like, I still was kind of like that feeling.
Well, I guess we have to wait 2 years, three, I guess, whenever they decide to make the next
two. Two, because they said it's going to be, they got two more in the pipe, and they'll be finished after 10. So 2019 to 2021 now.
Who would have thought that 10, seriously, 10 movies, and they're actually making more and more on these, but we can get into that next week once we actually have the box office. Again, to wrap up, go see it. If you like the movies, just go see it and enjoy it. It's good. And I know the enthusiasm, like, if we would have done the show last night, my enthusiasm was off the charts. But since I've not calmed down, got other distractions going, my enthusiasm is a little toned down now. But my wife said that was her favorite one. To me, no. I still, watching 5, I enjoyed that one a lot, but
yeah,
5 or 6 I would probably, say. So.
I would say this is probably the third or fourth favorite, because 5 is 1, 7 is 2, I think this and 6 are kind of like tied.
Yeah, it's funny, I know you did this the other day, I do need to go back and watch the old ones, like, you know, I actually reviewed 2 for the paper, and I barely remember it. So, I know Rosa Mendez was in it, right? No, Eva Mendez.
Eva Mendez. And it's funny.
Whatever, it's wrestling. I got it confused. So,
yeah, she's in it, and it's funny. Some of them hold up better than you remember. Some of them are worse than you remember. But it's kind of like, it's definitely, like I talked about it when I was doing a review, like, characters have changed, like, especially Tyrese's character. People make fun of, like, how Ludacris changed from being, like, you know, he just owned a car shop and he used to race till he got in an accident, and he was, and then next thing you know, he's a super hacker, and it's kind of like, yeah, that came out of nowhere. But Tyrese's character changed more than that, because Tyrese was a badass, and then somehow he just became, and I know why, and I always make the thing, like, Fast and Furious has this whole formula where it's been like two leads, the sidekick character, either one or two women, and the villain. So Tyrese couldn't exist as a lead with Vin Diesel being back, so that's why that got changed. The Rock coming back kind of messed up. Like, that was the best thing that happened to the series, but it kind of changed the dynamic a lot, because it's like it pushed Paul Walker to the side. And then it made you look at Vin Diesel. That's the first time you kind of looked at Vin Diesel like with side eye, because you didn't mind him being like, you know, this is actually, I want to say, this is the first one where Vin Diesel's had to act a lot since like the first one. Because he had to do, yes. like, because he had to play, like, he wasn't just, you know, I'm just cool, I'm a family, be familiar, we just, this ain't about going fast. I'm like, you know, his whole mumble cool thing where he's doing action stuff, but he's not really acting. This one is like, he actually had to do stuff. So, yeah. If you have a chance, go, you can watch him. It takes time. Like, the first four aren't even, like, an hour and a half, hour yeah. 45 minutes. They don't start getting long till like, the fifth and sixth one. So.
And speaking of long, we got to bust out of here. So we will. There's obviously more of this we can cover later, which we'll do. But yeah. So thanks for listening, everybody. Social media, all that stuff, Stunt Granny. And I'm out of here.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahida Dulhadi. And family will protect you from fireballs. We are out.